never ceased. It's February and love is in the air, but will it last? Love that is based on looks, pleasure, fun, good times, wealth, health, etc. won't last. Godly love, though, isn't based on circumstances. Godly love involves an act of the will. Children and families in America desperately need for husbands and wives to commit to love one another as Christ has loved them. With God's help, you can love your spouse until death do you part.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Pastor Brian Longworth.
Sometimes when a member of our family passes away, it's expected and anticipated. That doesn't necessarily make it easy, but it does help us prepare for that time. Other times, people die, members of our family die unexpectedly. We recently experienced two losses in our family. And these were not human losses, but they still were important members of our family. The first was unexpected and was not expected. We didn't plan for this. We didn't think it would happen. We have had two dogs and three cats, and one of the cats, really, we were only watching for 2 weeks for the last 6 years, but nonetheless, she became a part of our family. She was a very loving cat and very affectionate. And we did care for her and love her and treated her as our own. And like I said, she did become a part of our family. And she, by all means, looked healthy. She seemed healthy. She was really the most active of the three cats, even though she wasn't the youngest. She wasn't the oldest, but wasn't the youngest. But she was the most active of the cats. And the night before seemed to be very, very much alive and with it. And then we actually, last Sunday, found her dead in our house. And again, with no apparent reason for her passing. And then we had a dog that passed away. And this dog was very special to us. You may recall, actually, if you've listened to our sermons for quite a while, back in 2013, we actually had a dog named Ruby that was mauled in our neighborhood. And we didn't take her to, we took her to the vet and we took her to another vet because the first vet couldn't care for her. We didn't spend thousands of dollars, but we did spend more than $1,000 and more than really what we had available to spend to try to give her life and try to give her a chance to stay alive and continue to fight. And yet she passed away, and that really broke our hearts. And we were, even though this is, I know some people might say, well, this is just a dog, but dogs, they do grow on us. We do love them and care for them. And this dog, Ruby, was actually the first dog that my wife had ever loved. She had been more of a cat person, but she really fell in love with Ruby. We all the members of our family really cried and sorrowed over the loss of Ruby. And then my wife and kids were visiting her sister in West Palm, or in that area, and they were by the pool, and they met a young family that was moving and had a little dog named Hachi that they needed someone to care for. And Hachi became ours, and we adopted her. And all of our animals are rescues, and Hachi really brought us so much love and just comfort, and we really helped us heal over the loss of Ruby. And then Hachi, and I think it was in 2020, developed heartworms, and you know that used to be a death sentence, and thankfully they've had some newer treatments that are more successful, and she was able to recover. We did pay for the treatments, and thankfully we were able to afford that, and it wasn't easy, but we did give her more time to live. And then she developed diabetes, and many people wouldn't really be able to care for a dog with diabetes, but my wife was just amazing, really cared for her, and multiple times a day testing her. I mean, you can imagine with a dog, I mean, with a person, you can say, hey, listen, I'm going to prick you, or, you know, a lot of people do it themselves, say prick themselves. With a dog, you can't really say that, but she multiple times a day drew blood and you know, pricked her and tested her, and twice a day, typically on 11 to 12 hour intervals, she would eat and also get insulin shots. And my wife did most of that for her and really cared for her and gave her a quality of life and a length of life that really a lot of people, again, wouldn't be able to afford her. And then just recently we found out, well, she was sick and we weren't sure why. And we took her to the vet and they did run some tests and we found out that she had cancer, lymphoma. And it was really too much for her. She couldn't recover. We tried to, you know, keep her comfortable. We tried to give her alternative treatments, tried to boost her immune system, give her certain supplements and medications that would fight the cancer. And it was just too much for her. And we lost our Hachi. And actually in a space of 2 days, had to bury two different animals. And this was not something that, you know, even though we really had a longer period of time to anticipate, it was still difficult. And it still is difficult. And so we're just asking the question today, how much is one life worth? And, you know, really when we look at life, and some people may think, well, you know, what does this have any to do with anything? I mean, this is just an animal. But the Bible does say that the righteous man cares for his animals, and it is something that God has given us. You know, Adam was given authority and dominion over the animals, and God created all the animals, and he created animals for the purpose of serving humans here on this earth. And it's amazing how much comfort and love that animals can give. I heard one person say that everyone needs to have a good self-worth and a good view of themselves, needs to have a dog that thinks they can't do anything wrong, and also a cat that couldn't care whether they existed or not, as long as you give them food and clean their litter box. And certainly, a lot of times cats are like that and dogs are like that. One of the things my wife said about dogs is that, you know, they just love us unconditionally. And we're their entire world. They wait until we come home. They just, and they have so much love to share with us. Yet they are only animals. And they don't bear the image of God. Human beings bear the image of God. Animals do not have eternal spirits. Human beings do have eternal spirits. And so, as much as our Ruby was worth, and as much as our Bugera was worth, and as much as our Hachi was worth, every single human being, even human beings that can't contribute anything worthwhile to society, have a higher value than an animal. And certainly the preborn children that are killed by abortion have a higher value and a higher worth than a dog or a cat. And yet we see people going to abortion mills today, even today, after Roe versus Wade is overturned, going to abortion mills and paying an abortionist. A lot of times today, in our state at least, abortion happens chemically. And if it's done legally, it has to happen in a very early stage. Although there are exceptions that allow abortion through the 15th week or up to the 15th week. And there are other exceptions that will allow abortion in our state all the way to the moment of birth. And, you know, we've talked about this quite often. Still, most of the abortions are happening early on. Most of the legal ones, at least, are happening early on. And they're happening by means of chemical. We do have some that are happening illegally, where women are beyond the point where they can legally obtain an abortion in our state, yet that they are calling an out-of-state or out-of-the-country company that will send them, without a medical exam, the chemicals that are necessary to first stop the progesterone from coming to the baby so that the baby then dies. And then another chemical that causes that woman, that mother, she's already a mother, causes that mother to deliver, to go into a very violent labor, and to deliver a dead baby on her own toilet, where the water washes away the blood. And she sees a very tiny but perfectly formed human being in her toilet. And quite often, women are flushing these babies down their toilet. And they're going into our sewer system. The chemicals that they are actually ingesting are also going into our sewer systems. And for those who have city water, it's very likely, if you're drinking that city water, that you're actually drinking remnants of some of those chemicals that actually cut off progesterone from the baby and also cause the woman to go into a violent labor. And these chemicals, even in traces, can reduce fertility in our society. And we are seeing an increase in infertility in our society. When we look at Scripture, we do see that every human being is created in the image of God. This is the basis for valuing human life, for valuing human life even above animals that we love dearly, animals that we sometimes spend more money than we should. When we were in the vet treating our dog, and even when we went to have her put to sleep, we saw people that were spending money, even on old dogs, to try to give these dogs a better life. And yet, human beings are worth way more, far more, than a dog is, or a cat is. And we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we see that God himself created human beings. God created you. He created me. He created the preborn children that are in the womb, whose mothers right now are deciding whether to pay an abortionist to give them these pills that will kill their baby, or whether to call an out-of-state company or an out-of-the-country company and have them actually send them some of these chemicals. And what happens when the baby is too far along, actually further along than what the manufacturer of the pill has said it's safe to use this medication on? What happens? Well, the people at these companies say, well, just order two packets, order two doses, and you can take a double dose. And this is dangerous, what women are doing. And it's also, of course, obviously dangerous for the preborn children, who in most cases are killed by the abortifacient. And yet human beings are created in God's image. Because we are God's image bearers, we have value. This is actually the reason that God actually instituted the death penalty. Now, I know there's controversy over that, and some people don't believe that we should have the death penalty, but I follow God's word, and God instituted the death penalty, and he did so for the purpose of protecting innocent human life. And we read in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man." This is, by the way, after Noah and his sons, his children, were coming off of the ark. God had destroyed the rest of the world because of wickedness, and only Noah and his children were survivors. And so every one of us, whether no matter what race you are from, no matter what country your ancestors originated from, whatever part of the world you originated from, we can all trace our lineage back to not only Adam, but also Noah as well. And God places such a high value on human life that he says if someone murders someone else, they should be put to death. And of course, that needs to happen legally. And in the Bible, there are legal means for the death penalty to be applied. And this is the very first instance of God mentioning the death penalty. And he does it specifically because humans are created in God's image. Human beings are created in God's image. Because of that, our life is valuable and our life should be protected. And if someone intentionally kills someone who is innocent, not in self-defense, there is provision for being in self-defense, defending your family, defending your home, defending your life. But when you're actually murdering someone, you should actually be put to death upon conviction. We also see in the Bible that God actually knits and forms every single human being. And he does this in the womb. And he actually has a plan for every human being in the womb. God had a plan for you when you were in your mother's womb. And God had a plan for me when I was in my mother's womb. And we read in Psalm 139, beginning in verse 13, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." And so here we see that God knit the psalmist in his mother's womb. God also knit you and me in our mother's womb. The Bible also talks about Jeremiah being called a prophet from his mother's womb. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. Very likely, when Jesus in his mother's womb, Mary, visited John's mother Elizabeth, and John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb, and Elizabeth, the Bible tells us specifically at that time, that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit at that time. Very likely, John was as well. We don't know specifically because the Bible doesn't tell us, but it's very likely it happened right then. The Bible does say that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. And the Bible also specifically says Elizabeth called Jesus, who again was inside of Mary's womb, her Savior. And he was her Savior while he was an embryo, while he was Mary's womb. If abortion had been legal back then, Mary could have gone to an abortion clinic and paid an abortionist to rip baby Jesus limb from limb. And today, some people would say that she would be a hero. In fact, there are women that wear shirts that they are proud of their abortion. I mean, imagine going out and just killing someone, murdering someone, and then wearing a shirt. I'm proud that I murdered someone. Yet women in today's society are proud, some women are proud that they actually paid an abortionist to kill their preborn child. And they're willing to openly acknowledge that. But back to Scripture and what the Bible says about life. The Bible also tells us that Jesus was called while he was in his mother's womb. He was our Savior in his mother's womb. And another very intriguing passage says that the Apostle Paul was called to be a servant, a messenger of God, an apostle from his mother's womb. And if you know, I was just listening to the Bible today, the book of Acts, and actually listening to the part where the Apostle Paul, his name was Saul at the time, and he was there when Stephen was martyred, the first Christian martyr. He was there. He was consenting to his martyrdom. He had letters from the chief priest giving him the authority to lock up Christians and to persecute Christians. And yet God met him on the way and blinded him and then sent Ananias to go and proclaim the gospel. And Ananias said, wait a minute, this guy has been putting Christians in jail and you want me to go to him? Are you sure that you want me to go? And God says, he is my servant. He is going to lead many to me. And the Bible says that he was actually called from his mother's womb. So even though he rejected God, even though, and certainly he wasn't doing it to reject God, he thought he was keeping God's commandments. He thought he was pleasing God by persecuting Christians. But he didn't realize that he was actually fighting God and persecuting God. And so God actually shows throughout Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, that human life is valuable in the mother's womb. The Bible also speaks about protecting the disabled, protecting seniors as well. Not forsaking me. Do not forsake me when I am old. I mean, these are things that you can read about in the Psalms. And really, we need to fight for the protection of every innocent human life, because the life of even one human being is worth much more, phenomenally more, than the life of our animals that we love. And when they die, it's very difficult for us. When a human dies, their life is even more intrinsically more valuable. I want to ask you, how much is one's eternal life worth? Because you see, human beings, and I know there's debate about whether dogs go to heaven or not. I heard Mark Lowry said that dogs go to heaven, but cats go to hell. And he's a comedian, Christian comedian. So, you know, the Bible doesn't say that. He was joking about that. We do know that that dogs and cats, other animals, they don't have an eternal spirit. But human beings do have an eternal spirit. every single one of us, one day we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account for our life. Every single one of us. And if your life, if you're counting on your good deeds to get into heaven, you might as well give up. The Bible tells us that we have all sinned. We've all fallen short. Every single one of us is worthy of death. We're all worthy of hell. And yet God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son into the world so that he could actually die on the cross for our sins, so that we could then repent of our sins and his blood can wash away all of our sins. And anything that you've done in the past, even if you've been involved in abortion, even if you've been involved in murder of someone who was born, God can forgive you. Repent of your sins today. Cry out to him. If you're going to church and you're saying, well, I don't need to do that, I've already said a prayer, the Bible says that we're to make our calling and election sure. Make sure that you're going to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. When his blood has washed away your sins, that's the only way that you have assurance of salvation and that you will actually go to heaven. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When the earth rejoices for the Lord and the multitudes of the isles are glad. When the Lord has established justice in the earth and the coastlands wait for his law. When the fullness of the Gentiles comes and you call your people Israel back into your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com where you can give us feedback and give donations.
It's February and love is in the air, but will it last? Love that is based on looks, pleasure, fun, good times, wealth, health, etc. won't last. Godly love, though, isn't based on circumstances. Godly love involves an act of the will. Children and families in America desperately need for husbands and wives to commit to love one another as Christ has loved them. With God's help, you can love your spouse until death do you part.
Here's Tom Cantor, a Jewish born-again Christian and Bible teacher on Friendship with God.
And that's like people today who want nothing to do with being a believer. They don't want to be found in church. But when they see death approaching and they want to go to heaven, all of a sudden they become very religious, you know, and they claiming to be what they never were in their lives.
Friendship with God with Tom Cantor, Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. and 10:30 p.m. right here on WCNO.
Please listen to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael every Saturday at 3 p.m. for encouragement from the Holy Bible for life's journey. Thank you.
Come on, clap your hands. Let's give God some praise for the good
things. I'm Minister Ezekiel Jones of Lively Stones Ministry. Join us every Saturday at 7:30 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Yes, oh, yeah.